All right, good morning. I'm so glad you guys are here today. Welcome online and in person. My name is Matt Wolf. I'm the lead pastor here at Arise Church Denver, and we're all about helping people follow Jesus. We want to help you follow Jesus, for you in turn to help others follow Jesus, because following Jesus is the path to the fullest life and the only path to eternal life. And that's what we want for you. So we are going to be in part three of our series, Losing My Religion. It's okay if you've missed any. This will stand alone, I think, on its own. But in this series, we're talking about the things about our religion that actually would be a good thing if we do lose. And today, we're gonna learn to move from fences to freedom. Fences to freedom. Because I think we want more freedom, don't we? A few people do. I want more freedom. Do you want more freedom? Yes, okay, there we go. Because a lot of people look at faith, they look at Christianity and think, man, those are not free people. A lot of people have grown up in a religious tradition, even in Christianity, and they say, man, it's all about the rules, the rituals, the tradition, and it's constricting. There's too many rules, it's too much. So much so that I saw one statistic, at least 11% of people in our country are people who used to go to church. They were raised, and they made it all the way through confirmation, all the way through high school, and they're like, I ain't going back. And when I have conversations with those people, often it's because of how many weird little rules there were. I think one person who embodies this idea, it was Lindsay Zolaads, and she wrote in an article on the website The Ringer, an article, and she said this. She says, I was raised in this denomination. I'm not gonna say which one it is, Christian denomination. She says, I was confirmed in the church. And she says this, when I was young, religion felt like an infinite list of rules too long to ever remember. You ever felt that way? And then she said this. This really stood out to me. God was something I always felt like I was doing wrong. I think too many people feel that way. I'm just wrong. I never can quite get it right. There's all these rules, rituals, traditions. Do I stand up in the service? Do I sit down? Do I say the right words? Am I praying the right way? And all these different things come and they block people from true faith. They have a fence that gets up in the way. And what I'm hoping that we can do is move from fences to freedom, because Jesus came so that we could have freedom. And he came to confront the people who made extra rules, extra rituals, extra fences that get in the way of us and God. So that's what we're talking about today. This series is all about the things that we need to lose in our religion that would be good, because we all have a tendency in our hearts to become more and more religious. And these things that we've learned, and we learn that we're so often trying to pretend to be good people in religion. Like, we put on this mask. So we learned in week one that we need to lose the mask. It's actually better to say, I have problems, I have issues, I have sin, and I need help, okay? So lose the mask was what we learned in week one. In week two, we learned that a lot of times religious people shut the door on other people to keep them out. They say, I'm in, you're out, I'm good, you're bad, I'm righteous, you're unrighteous, I'm going to heaven, you're going to hell. And actually, it was never our job to begin with to decide who's in and who's out. So I challenge you, don't shut the door, show the way. Show the way. That was week two. And today, we're gonna move from fences to freedom. And in order to do that, we are going to look at a passage of scripture, a story about Jesus from Mark chapter 7. So if you have your Bible, open with me to Mark chapter 7. If you have your smartphones, YouVersion is working. It didn't work last service, so you guys are special. Okay, their server was down. But if you go use the YouVersion Bible app, you can find our Rise Church Denver event, and you can save that right on your phone so you can have notes. And there's even some links in there in the notes, including links to this week's questions that you guys will discuss in your community groups. So we are gonna be in Mark chapter 7, verse 1. We read, the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus. Now remember, these are the religious leaders of Jesus' days. These are the people that were all about following the rules, doing it right, looking good. They were the pastors, the teachers, the elders, the deacons, the great volunteers at their churches back in the day. And these all were the religious people, right? And in verse 2, it says, and they saw some of Jesus' disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. Ew. Okay. Verse 3, the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they came from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. Okay. As we're reading that, some of you are like, I like these guys, very hygienic, okay? But they were not washing their hands or their pitchers and kettles in order to be sanitary, okay? They weren't. In fact, antibacterial soap did not exist back then, okay? They were not doing this in order to have clean hands and avoid germs. They didn't even know what germs were. Instead, this was something that was ceremonial. It was traditional. Now, this is important for us to understand because I did some research on this, and it actually wasn't until 1848 that the first doctor discovered that washing your hands was actually a better outcome for your patients. 1848. And it wasn't till the 1980s that hand washing became a normal practice for people. Okay? So back in the first century AD, nobody was washing their hands because they thought it was hygienic. They were doing it as part of their tradition. And I can say this because I have traveled to some countries, and maybe you have, and I went on a mission trip, and the water was not safe to drink. Have you guys ever been to a country like this? The water's not safe to drink. And guess what? It's not safe if you wash your hands in it either, unless you have some kind of antibacterial soap. I noticed this because I went to a restaurant once, and they were like, don't drink the water. I was like, okay, cool, I got that. They said, and don't even eat the vegetables on the side of your plate because it's been washed in the same water. Oh, okay. So what these Pharisees are doing is not for hygiene, not to prevent germs. They're doing this because it's ceremony. And what they would have done was something similar to Jews practice today, that they would put both their hands up and then someone would pour water over their hands and it would kind of roll down. There was no scrubbing. There's no singing the happy birthday song twice. Okay, it was just water going down ceremonially. And maybe you guys were here for our Seder dinner. We hosted one a few weeks ago, and we did this because this was a ceremonial practice. And what they were doing was like, well, Jesus, why aren't you and your disciples doing this ceremonial practice, this tradition, this thing that we've been doing for maybe years, hundreds, thousand years? But here's the thing. The Bible never commanded people to wash their hands before a meal. This is interesting. There was a beginning command. This is the interesting thing. There was a kernel of a command in the very beginning in Exodus when God said, priests who go into the temple are supposed to wash their hands. Because a priest was a representative for the people. They were going before God, and because they were unclean, because they were sinful, they needed to wash their hands to ceremonially say in their heart that we need to be cleaned in order to go into the presence of God. But then what happens, and this often happens with a command of God, the word of God that started in the beginning. There's a word of God. Okay, here's clarity. This is what you're supposed to do. Religious people like to make fences. And they say, well, if the priests are supposed to wash their hands when they enter the temple, maybe priests should wash their hands all the time. And then they say, well, if the priests are supposed to wash their hands, maybe everybody should wash their hands because we all want to be that holy. And now we should do it before every single meal just in case. Do you see what's happened here? They've moved very far from the command of God away from that. And that's what I'm calling fences in this message today. You see my fence here? Okay, fence is just this, an extra rule. Here's the command over here, and religious people are like, well, just move the fence a little bit, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more, because we wanna make sure nobody breaks God's law, what he actually said. So let's put an extra fence over here just in case. But what's the problem? There's a lot of real estate between there and here. And if we're setting up this fence and telling other people you can't go anywhere near here, it keeps people even farther from God. I learned about this concept of fences from a book by theologian Jerry Bridges years ago. And I don't even know if he invented the concept, but it was so helpful for me to understand. Religious people, Pharisees, like to build fences. I think they start out with good intention. They're like, hey, it's good to be holy, so let's be extra holy. And let's keep people from ever getting anywhere close to unholiness, to sin. So let's put that extra fence over here. But these extra fences keep people out unnecessarily. They get in the way of our true faith. See, look what happens as we keep reading in verse 5. It says, so the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands? See, this is what religious people do. They push their rules on other people. You guys need to follow our rules too. They're the right traditions, the right rules. And Jesus replies in verse 6, Isaiah the prophet was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. Verse 8, you have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. Here's God's command. You should have a pure heart. That's why the priests originally had to wash their hands before they entered the temple. So they made sure that they had confessed their sins and had a pure heart before God. And instead of now having a pure heart, they focus so much on this outward rule following that they have missed the whole point. They become accidental Pharisees, in the words of Pastor Larry Osborne. He has a great book on this. They didn't intend to become these religious Pharisees who focus on just the outward rules, but that's what they became because of years and years of, you gotta keep the fence. This is where the fence is. Don't cross the fence. Don't go over there. And this is what we can all become if we're not careful. We add extra fences. And it misses the whole point. That's what Jesus is saying. He's like, I want you to worship me. That's what Isaiah said, but you're just doing it outwardly following rules and your hearts are so far from me. And God wants our hearts. He wants a relationship with us, not boring rule following. It's true. And just as imagine a husband, and I'm making up this scenario, it's not about me, but well, let's use me and Melissa as an example. And Melissa's like, Matt, you're missing too many dinners at home. I want you home with the family for dinner. That's a pretty reasonable request. And she's like, so let's make sure that you're home 3 nights a week for dinner with the family. Okay, and that's not happening. I'm just making up this scenario. Okay, I can do that. So imagine then I go home those 3 nights and I pull out my phone and I'm scrolling through it all dinner time. How do you think Melissa will feel? I think she'd be like, oh, Matt, I'm so glad that you're here. No, because she wants me to not just be present, but to be present, right? To emotionally be there and available. And if she got mad at me, I'd be like, well, hey, I'm following the rules. I'm here 3 nights a week. But that's not the point. That rule was just to have more time in a relationship and to develop that relationship. It is a very good thing to be at dinner with your families, okay? That's a little bonus point. But I would say this, we can focus on the rules and miss the whole point of it altogether. And that's what religious people do. Get so focused on the fence, then don't realize, hey, that fence might have originally been there to help us get our hearts closer to God, but now it is a barrier to us and to others. That's why we need to learn to move from fences to freedom. Okay, I have this fence up here. You might see it and you think, defense, right? Okay, but that's not what we're gonna say today. Because, as we just saw, fences are offensive to Jesus. So I want you to chant with me, offense, offense. Can you guys do that with me? Offense, offense. Okay, it's offensive to Jesus to have fences. We need to move from fences to freedom. And that's what we're gonna learn today, because Jesus actually truly came for us to have freedom. A lot of people don't realize this. They think Christianity is just another religion. Wrong, it's not about the rules. It's about this relationship we can have. Listen to what Jesus' very words are about why he came in chapter 8, verses 31. It says, to the Jews who had believed in him. So these people are coming out of this Jewish religion with all sorts of rules, 600 plus rules. It says that Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Jesus came for our freedom, not for us to be restricted by a bunch of rules, to free us to what's good. Paul would bring this up a little bit later in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. He says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be yoked, burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And he was speaking specifically about some religious rules, one in particular in that chapter. Do you know what it was? Circumcision. This was a pretty basic one. Most Jewish babies were circumcised at birth, like that wasn't a very hard thing for them to go through. I don't remember it. Would have been a little harder for adults to go through that ritual. But it's just like one time, right? That's not that big of a deal. You should have to do that if you want to follow Jesus. And Paul's like, no, that actually puts people under slavery. That fence, we are no longer under that fence anymore. Like, we don't have to follow that rule to follow Jesus. And if you're like, well, what rules do we need to follow? Jesus actually tells us we have a lot of freedom. Look at what he says later in chapter 7 in verse 19. Mark says that Jesus declared all foods clean. This is pretty good. Did you know that we don't have to go and read every single wrapper at the grocery store to make sure that something is kosher in order to eat it as followers of Jesus? This means that we can eat bacon-wrapped shrimp. I should get some amens from that, okay? You can cook your eggs in bacon grease. Amen, okay? We have the freedom to eat whatever we want. All foods are declared clean for us who are followers of Jesus. We don't have food rules that we have to follow. That's in Mark chapter 7, verse 19. But here's even more interesting. All of the Jewish law we are no longer under. In the book of Hebrews, it says, when God speaks of a new covenant, because that's what Jesus said when he took the Last Supper, he says, this is the new covenant I established, not the old covenant, a new way of doing things. It means, Hebrews tells us, he has made the first one obsolete. It is now out of date and will soon disappear. We're not under any of the rules of the Old Testament. Did you know that? We're not. It is for freedom Christ has set us free. So we need to learn then to follow Jesus and his word if we want true freedom. And this is where true freedom is found. And we need to stop building fences and move from fences to freedom. This is what I want you to do. And it is true that all of us can become accidental Pharisees. And I'm gonna tell you why here in just a second, because there are four things, and there's maybe other ones, but at least four things that we set up as fences, sometimes with good intentions. Some are even good in and of themselves, but when they become fences, they become a problem to us. They keep us and others from God. So you guys ready for the four things that become fences for us accidental Pharisees? Here's the first one, traditions. Traditions, Jesus just talked about it. He's like, you've taken, here's God's command way over here, and you've made these traditions that have added to it. Traditions in and of themselves are not bad. Jesus does not say they're bad. The problem is when we force our traditions, and this is the only way to do things, keeps us from God. There are a lot of traditions within Christianity. Maybe you grew up in a church that took the Lord's Supper every single week. Do you know what Jesus actually taught us about communion in his word? He said, do this whenever you do it. So how often are we supposed to do it according to Jesus? Whenever you do it. Wait, is that once a week, once a month, once a quarter? He didn't say. So we actually have to decide, how often do we do this? There are some churches, and people ask me this, like, why don't you do communion every single week? And I said, we could, but we don't have to. Okay, but that can become this tradition. Well, you gotta do that every single week. You've got to every single week say the Lord's Prayer. I had somebody ask me about this recently. Why don't we say the Lord's Prayer? We do say it every once in a while. I've said it here in the church. But do you know what Jesus actually taught us about the Lord's Prayer? He said, this is how you pray, not what you pray. So we're supposed to learn from him how to pray, but that's not the exact words that we have to say every single time. So if we don't say it every single week perfectly, that's okay. It's okay. We have some freedom in our worship. The traditions, it's fine, but we don't have to force them on people and say that's the only way. We don't have to recite certain creeds. The traditions, though they are okay, they're just that, traditions. And let's not make a fence out of a tradition. Okay, let me tell you about one in particular that we've kind of broken a fence down here in our church, that we have women on our elder board here at a church. Okay, well, they got one amen, but some people are like, whoa, I thought you weren't supposed to do it. Traditionally, no. Jesus had 12 disciples who were men. In the early church, most of the elders, we think, maybe all of them were men, but there's not actually one explicit command in the Bible that says women cannot be elders. It's not in there. But it's a tradition. Okay, but that puts up a fence. And a lot of women say, hey, I'm not represented at the highest level of leadership in this church. I don't know if I'm welcome here. It becomes an unnecessary fence, and we've decided we don't want that fence in our church. We want to move from fences to freedom. And let's actually look at what God says in his law clearly, accurately. So the first thing is traditions can become fences. You guys got that? Second one, preferences. Preferences. They might start as traditions, but we all have preferences for the way to do church, the way to do worship, the way to do whatever. It's our personal preferences. And guess what? That's how God made us. We're all unique, and we have our preferences, the way we like things to go. But they're just that, preferences. And this often shows up with music style. With music style, like, hey, you know, I thought it's just supposed to be hymns. No, I want a band. Church is split over this kind of stuff. What's the style? But what it really comes down, let's be honest, it's preference. It's preference. And here's an interesting thing. The churches that are like, we gotta do the hymns, those are the tried and true songs, the old ones are the good ones. Okay, do you know what the actual, an actual command in the scripture is in Psalm 96:1? It says, sing to the Lord a new song. So if you're only doing the old ones, you're actually breaking God's command, okay? But let's just say it's preference. Which style, what sound of music, what type of instruments you use or don't use, let's just say it's preference and it's okay. And I want to make very clear about this because some of you are like, yeah, this church has freedom. We're not stuck in the organ and hymn or whatever. Okay, but there will come a time that even our church might need to change and adapt. And I talk with people here in our church, they're like, oh, I love this church. I'm sure there's people that don't love it. Okay, that's fine, don't tell me. But if you do love your church, and then people will move away from Denver and they're like, Matt, it's so hard to find a new church. I can't find anything like Arise where I'm at. I'm like, yeah, because that's your preference. We do a lot of things here that might just be our preferences, and let's just say what it is, and let's not make it into offense. We might have to adapt sometimes. Here's another one that's interesting. I prefer to read my Bible every single morning. I think that daily Bible reading and morning Bible reading is one of the best things that you can do for your life. And I teach people to do that. But does the Bible actually command us to read the Bible every single day in the morning? Nope. If you read in the afternoon or in the evening, is it okay too? Well, yeah, it is. I think it's a little easier in the morning because then you get busy with the day and you forget. But if you can figure it out, that's great. We're not actually commanded to do that. One thing we are commanded to do in the Bible that I don't do all the time is let us encourage one another daily. Man, there's been some days that I've gone by that I haven't encouraged people. Instead, I've been critical and complaining. But I am commanded to encourage. But yet my daily Bible reading, which I'm like, look at that. Okay, you got daily Bible reading. You're a great Christian, right? Wrong, that's not. That's just a fence that we can put up, even though that's my preference. It's just a fence. And let's be clear about it. Can we do that? Let's be clear about what is preference. And what we need to do is realize it's my preference, because once you're honest and acknowledge this is my preference, then you can get yourself out of the way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says this. He says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone. Interesting. To win as many as possible. And he goes on to explain how this works. He says, to the Jews, I become like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I become like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law. So as to win those under the law. To those who not having the law, I became like one not having the law. So whoever he's with, he's trying to reach them for Christ, and he gives up his own preferences because he has the freedom to do so. This is interesting. Our preferences should not be fences for ourselves or others. So that's the second thing that become fences for us accidental Pharisees, preferences. The third one, this is a tough one. You guys gotta pay attention to this. Wisdom. This is tough. The Bible has more than one category, sin and not sin. Okay, that's what people think. Here's right and here's wrong. Here's righteous and unrighteous. There's also a category of smart and stupid. And there's a lot of scripture, including the Proverbs, that teach us what is the wise thing, what is the smart thing to do. But just because something is dumb, something is foolish, that doesn't necessarily mean it's sinful. So let's be honest about these categories as well. And we need to be careful to not make something that's wise into offense for other people. Paul teaches us about this concept in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. He says, I have the right to do anything. I'm free to do anything. You say, but not everything is beneficial. Not everything you do is good for you, even though you can do it. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. This is another thing. I have the freedom to do this thing, but if I become addicted, if it starts to control me, that's a bad thing. But this is a matter of wisdom for ourselves, and we need to be careful not to make it into offense for ourselves or others. A very common one to talk about is related to alcohol. There is a clear command in scripture to not get drunk on wine. So to avoid drunkenness is a command of scripture. That's how we should follow Jesus. Yet some people take that and they're like, okay, there's the command. So let me put up this fence. Don't even drink at all, because then you might get drunk. You don't know your limits. You don't know how much you can have. But that's a fence. Look at all that real estate. And let me tell you guys this. Jesus didn't turn the water into Welch's grape juice, okay? So even though it might be really wise for you and for other people to avoid alcohol altogether, that's not a command. And you can have some wisdom in that area. Do you guys understand that, this real estate? And there's some wisdom there. You should know how much you should drink, when you should drink, or in certain situations, because there are times that you're with people and maybe they're alcoholics, and you should give up your freedom to help them. I once talked with a man, and his career was kind of in a dead end, and he needed to make a change. And he came to me and said, "Man, I got this great opportunity. I have an opportunity to buy this restaurant, and I'm really excited about it. It's going to be great." And I was like, "Well, that's cool. This is what you've been thinking and praying about." He's like, "Yeah, but there's a bar in the restaurant." I said, "Okay, well, that's pretty common. Like, that's big moneymaker for restaurants." He said, "Well, yeah, the problem is I used to be an alcoholic, and I've been 20 years sober. What do you think I should do?" So we talked about it for a while, and I'm like, "Well, hey, you've been 20 years sober. Could you stand behind the bar every single day and hold on to your sobriety?" And he's like, "Yeah, I think I could." And I said, "Yeah, you're saying that right now, but just wait till somebody in your family has a bad health diagnosis. Do you think you could do it then?" It's like, you have the freedom to make this decision, but what's wise or not? And I didn't tell him what to do because I couldn't. It wasn't commanded in the scripture. But he made the decision. He's like, "In wisdom, I'm not gonna buy that bar." That's a wisdom thing, right? It's not sin or not sin. It's just, is this wise or not? So alcohol can be one of those. Here's another one that I wouldn't like to say. I'd like to be a little bit clearer, but debt. I taught a couple months ago when we were in our finance series that debt, like in scriptures, we're told to flee from debt and we're told to pay off all our debts. Like, those are the two clear commands. But can you have debt? Dave Ramsey's like, "No, don't do it," right? But that's actually might just be wisdom, okay? Might not be wise to have a lot of debt, especially bad debt. But it's not commanded in the scripture. You can have debt. But people put up that fence. No debt, or you're a sinner, you're bad, right? People also do this. This is a tough one. Living together before you're married. Okay, ooh, this is a tough one. Now, I've taught on this. There is a clear command in scripture that you should not have sex with someone that you're not married to. Like, that's what Jesus taught. And yet, should you live together before marriage? Ooh. Used to be, that's the fence. If you're doing that, you're a sinner. It's like, whoa, whoa, that actually isn't in the scriptures. Might be unwise, because once you start doing that, like, it's hard not to break the commandment. Let's be honest. And there's just some other research out there that says, hey, it's not the healthiest thing for your marriage. We've covered that before in some teaching. But we're talking wisdom here, not necessarily sin or not sin. You guys understand? And we need to be honest and not put up a fence unnecessarily. And I would like to make it clearer and more obvious for you guys, right? But I can't. We have freedom in Christ. And here's the fourth area. And this is even more complicated than wisdom. The area of convictions. Convictions. The Bible says we can and should have personal and family convictions. I hope and pray you develop some very strong convictions in your life. This is what I will do, this is what we will do, and we will not budge. Good, have your convictions. But your convictions are not a command from God. And you cannot force that on other people. In Romans chapter 14, verse 5, Paul talks about this. And he says, one person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. He says it's actually good to be convinced of something and to be, I think this is the right thing to do. And what he's talking about is days. So for Jewish people, it was like there's these holy days that you have to celebrate. Now Christians are like, well, I don't have to follow those anymore. I'm just gonna treat every day like normal. Well, which one's right? Paul's like, just have a conviction and go with it. But then don't force that conviction on another person. People still do that with days today. I have people saying, what about Halloween? Isn't it a demonic day that celebrates evil? You put on masks, it's all bad. If that's your conviction, good for you. But other people are like, hey, it's just kind of a fun thing that we can do and get to know our neighbors and love them a little more and give them candy. And if that's your conviction, good. And guess what? We can both have those convictions or anywhere in between. People do it with Christmas too. Like, I'll celebrate Christmas, but not the pagan stuff, okay? Or Easter, like, not that evil bunny. Okay, that's fine. Let that be your conviction, but let's not force those on other people. We can have our strong convictions. You can have convictions about a lot of things, and I encourage you to develop some convictions. Here's some other ones. Like, the Bible does command us to be modest in how we dress. That's a scriptural command. But how long a woman's skirt should be. Like, it doesn't tell us the exact inches, right? A lot of people are like, it'd be so much easier if we knew exactly how long a skirt's length needed to be modest. But we don't have that. We're just commanded to be modest. So if you're looking for specifications about what type of swimsuit to wear, like, sorry, that's not in the scriptures. Like, we have this biblical principle, this command to be modest, but the specifics of it, we have to have some individual convictions on this. This can be with parenting too. A lot of Christians fight over, you gotta homeschool, you gotta have a private Christian school. No, public school's the best way. Have your conviction, good, and stick with it. Stick with your convictions. And this leads me, especially in the area of convictions, but with all of this stuff, if you are a parent, we need to be extra, extra careful with this stuff. Because too many parents have created up these rules and fences for their household. And their kids start to think, well, that's what you have to do to follow God. And they don't want to follow those rules. So then when they leave the house, they leave God too. So I'm not saying don't have rules in your household. You should. You must. And they might even be unique to your family. No other family in the church, no other family on the street has the same rules as you. That's okay. But you need to explain to your kids what your family rules are and why you have them. And you can say, this is how we do it. This is how the wolves do it in our house. And this is why we do it, because of this experience, because of this thing that happened. And then you might even wanna say, like, hey, when you're an adult, you don't have to follow this same rule. This is not for your faith, this is for our family, because we've learned that this is why. We have a conviction about it, so we're gonna keep this as our family rule. But this is not biblical. Let's just be honest about what these are so that we don't create an unnecessary fence, so that kids grow up in a church home, grow up with faith, and then walk away from it. Because too often they're walking away from these fences that are put up arbitrarily. I love this quote from C.S. Lewis, one of my favorite things he's ever said. There is no good trying to be more spiritual than God. I love that. In fact, someday I want to write a book called You Don't Have to Be Better Than the Bible or More Spiritual Than Scripture. Because I think too often we do that and we put these fences. Let's just acknowledge they're fences. They're fine for me, maybe for my family, but I'm not gonna force them on other people as if that's the only way to follow God. It creates a fence. And what we need to do is move from fences to freedom. It's for freedom Christ has set us free. It's for freedom Christ has set us free. And we definitely shouldn't be the ones forcing this on other people who are coming to faith. This was a big deal in the early church. Because as people were beginning to follow Jesus, a lot of them had come out of Judaism, but a lot of them were Gentiles. They were not Jewish, so they had none of those rules, rituals, traditions coming up. So when they came to faith in Jesus, they believed in him and wanted to follow him. And then there was a big clash. Well, which tradition should win out? Which rules should win out? And they had a big council as they all got together to figure out what was going on. And in Acts 15, James, Jesus' brother, who had become one of the leaders of the early church, stood up as they were arguing about this. He says, therefore, my opinion is that we should not put obstacles, not put fences in the way of the Gentiles who are turning to God. Let's not put up fences and prevent people from coming to true faith in Jesus. These fences too often are getting in the way of people new to the faith. Don't put them up. We want to have freedom in Christ, so don't put somebody else under a yoke of slavery. So I hope that you've learned something today. I know it's a complex subject, something you're gonna have to think about with 100 different applications for different situations. But we need to move from fences to freedom, because it's for freedom Christ has set us free. So don't let traditions, preferences, wisdom, and even your own convictions become a fence for yourself or others. Because Jesus, what he actually truly taught us was that he was the only one who was truly holy. Truly clean, truly perfect. He followed every one of the 600 plus Jewish laws in the Old Testament. He is the only one who ever did it right, and you could never do it right enough. You're not holy enough. You're not perfect enough, but Jesus was. And yet still, he went to the cross. He was executed, punishment, suffered consequences, though he had done nothing wrong. And when that happened, it was the great exchange that when we put our faith in Jesus on the cross, our consequences of our sinful hearts get put on Jesus, and he gives us that declaration of clean, of holy, of righteous, of good through faith. That's the greatest gift you could ever imagine. So then we follow Jesus. That is total freedom forever. Let's pray together. Lord God, I hope that we can all move from fences to freedom. Lord God, you've challenged us in the series, you've challenged me. And I pray that I could lose the things from our religion that are getting in the way, that we're becoming more religious, more accidental Pharisees. Lord God, free us. And I pray that you would make us clean today. We all have hearts that are sinful and we need your purification, your cleansing through your blood on the cross. Forgive us again today. And let us walk out truly in the freedom that we have in Christ. Not burdened again by a yoke of slavery or forcing that on other people, but instead recognize what fences are so that we can find true freedom in you. Now with eyes closed, I know that there might be someone in here today who needs to make a decision to follow Jesus for the first time, or maybe to come back because you've lapsed in your faith, because you thought it was all about the rules and you didn't want to follow that infinite set of rules. It's not. It's not about rules. It's about a relationship with Jesus who died on the cross to forgive you of your sins. And if you say a simple prayer, you can receive him as your Lord and Savior today and find that true freedom in him and eternal life. So I'm gonna give you an opportunity to say a simple prayer to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So if you're already a follower of Jesus, say this prayer out loud to give courage to somebody around you who needs to pray it for the first time. Please repeat after me. Dear God, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Save me. Forgive me. In faith, I declare Jesus is Lord. Fill me with your Spirit. Make me clean. Give me the gift of eternal life. Help me to follow you and find freedom in you. Now with eyes closed, if somebody said that prayer for the first time and meant it, if Jesus today is your Lord and Savior, or you're returning for the first time in a long time, we want you to slip your hand in the air on the count of three and we'll come around and give you a little book to encourage you in your journey. So on the count of three, 1, 2, 3, put your hand high in the air if you said that prayer and meant it today. And if you're online, go to risedenver.com/follow. Lord God, we're just so grateful that you set us for freedom, that you have saved us, you've forgiven us. And Lord God, help us not be burdened by this yoke of slavery, but walk in the true freedom that comes with Jesus. Just for freedom, you have set us free. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening to the message today. I'm Matt Wolf, lead pastor at Arise Church Denver, and we're all about helping people follow Jesus, and we wanna help you follow Jesus. Because of that, if you're newish, even if you're just checking us out online, go down below in the description and fill out that form at risedenver.com/new. And if this message has impacted you at all, please go to risedenver.com/give so that you can give back and help more people find out the message of Jesus Christ.